Blog Talk Radio. Mm-hmm.
Wind up your radios, Dementites and Dementoids.
Good evening. And welcome to Eerie House Radio. I have no idea what's wrong with me. Maybe it's because it's Dr. Demento's 80th birthday. Hey, Dr. D, happy birthday. I'm Dale K from Spook Show here along with...
No wonder I feel so old. It's Dave Bickley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and along here with...
Yes, Kim Osabe. It is I, Tonto.
No, it is I, Garvin Goldblay. Hey, how are you?
Oddly, joining us on a Saturday. What day is it? I don't know. Saturday, and we're glad you're here as we got more Easter Comedy Radio. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. You're making coffee. Back away from the stove.
Please step away from the coffee pot.
Put the decanter down now.
Just... back away slowly, son.
Too late.
We're doomed.
Oh, my.
We're doomed.
Boy.
No, and being as we're doing comedy shows for Easter this year, and this weekend, it's I think fitting that we pay a little bit of homage to the good doctors. Hence the little intro there from his show that we all miss and love so much. Comedy it is tonight.
I'm only a doctor on radio.
Yes. Maybe you could have a little coffee. A smidge. A sip.
Yeah.
Just a smidge. Yeah, yeah. I know that, I loved tuning in whenever I could. It ended up being, I think the last station he was on in the Cleveland area was on WMJI, our oldie station. And he was on Sunday nights there. But you said you were traveling all over looking for him, right, Dale?
When I was a kid, we were living in the Bedford area, Bedford Heights, just learning how to drive in 76. Didn't always get the AM signal real good where we were at. It was an undeveloped area. There were a lot of trees and perhaps things that would impede the signal. Not a lot of tall buildings, though. But there were places you could go for a little ride and then pick them up real good. And it was fun. Just go on a two-hour nonsensical ride to listen to the Dr. D show.
Yep.
I'm surprised you didn't have to get out and climb a building like Spider-Man, hold the radio up high. Oh, we've got a signal.
No, it was suburban where I grew up. It wasn't that far from the city, but we were talking about how AM just it doesn't have a very long wavelength, so there are spots where it doesn't broadcast so well, especially depending on the broadcast signal, how strong they're broadcasting.
Right. AM kind of shoots straight up at full power pretty much, where FM kind of shoots horizontally. So it's kind of what happens with that.
Yep.
But may I only shoot at pigeons?
You don't have to worry about none of that AM, FM business tonight. We're doing them internets, and we've got some old-time radio for you.
We do. We do. With classics, Lucille Ball and Burns and Allen. Lucille Ball came up and really was okay. She was making it a little bit in the movies, and she was doing okay here and there. It wasn't until she got to this program that we're sharing the first one tonight, My Favorite Husband, that she really got to be in front of the audience, and they saw, the CBS saw how the audiences reacted to her. You know, and then she had the same reactions on radio that she got on television. Just that people loved her reactions to things, and you could see that even better on television. And another secret to that was once the original writers left after, I think, the first 10 episodes, Madeline Pugh, she got three writers, Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and I forget who the third one was. They basically, they stayed with her forever. They were there with the title run of I Love Lucy. They were there for Here's Lucy. They were there, the Lucy show, and then Life with Lucy, that very last one. It lasted, what, six episodes?
About 5 minutes,
something like that. Yeah, which I watched anyway because I wanted to see her and Gail Gordon. Gail Gordon was her brother-in-law, and they all lived in the same house with her daughter and grandkids, that kind of a thing, that kind of a setup. So it was fun to see Gail Gordon back in action again.
Yeah, he's a perfect foil, as we heard last night on Our Miss Brooks, and throughout Lucy's career on and off in various ways.
Well, I mean, even this show, you'll find him in here. He played a George Cooper's boss and friend. And when they were going to bring it to television, Lucy said, only if you let me do it with my husband. CBS wanted Richard Dunning, but Lucy said, no, only with my husband. And so Lucy and Desi went on the road doing an act that CBS said, okay, we'll let it, but it became I Love Lucy. And when they did I Love Lucy, B. Benaderet and Gail Gordon were considered for Fred and Ethel Mertz. They were the first considered for them, but both of them were contractually obligated and couldn't do it. So by the time it got to the Lucy show, he was open, and the rest of her career was also the rest of his career.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. We got a lot of stars tonight, don't we? Between the Lucy show, My Favorite Husband show with Lucille Ball and Burns and Allen tonight.
We did. You know, one thing I meant to mention that we didn't get to last night on Armas Brooks, Walter Denton, the young high school that was the boyfriend of Walter Conklin's daughter,
mm-hmm.
that was a young Crenna or Richard Crenna. So he went from Armas Brooks to television Armas Brooks to television what was that, Walter Brennan series where
the
he played the farmer. the real McCoys.
The real
and
McCoys,
then
yeah.
on to being an amazing dramatic actor in a lot of movies and such, and a detective. So Richard Crenna had a long, distinguished career, starting with early radio.
Pretty amazing. Oh, gosh, where will we start tonight?
Wherever it takes us. It's a
you got
Mara,
two
what do you
fingers.
Think?
Pick one.
This one, pal.
Oh, hello. I know that one.
Yes, you do.
Scoundrel.
I'm sure you're familiar with it.
You scoundrel, you.
I am. Well, since we started whetting everyone's appetite with My Favorite Husband and Lucille Ball, we might as well begin with that, with a little story called Iris and Liz's Easter Outfits.
Yep. You know what? We'll go ahead and give the information on that, and then in the break time, I got some more information on the show itself. This was episode number 124, believe it or not, from March 24th, 1951.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the Gay Family Series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Transcribed and brought to you by the Jell-O family of Red Letter Dessert.
Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. The Alpha pudding's just fairy.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper. Two people who live together and like it. And now let's look in on the Coopers. Tonight, we're going to ask you to go back with us to an evening 2 weeks ago. George and Liz are entertaining George's boss, Mr. Atterbury, and his wife, Iris. Dinner is over, and the group has just settled down in the living room.
Oh, gee, that was a delicious dinner, Liz.
Oh, thank you, honey baby doll. That's why I love you. Because you say such sweet things to me. Give me a kiss.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What a disgusting exhibition.
It is no
Rudolph, you should try acting like that.
All right. Come here, Liz.
Not with her.
Oh.
I'm sorry if I overdid it, Mr. Atterbury, but I'm feeling mellow toward George tonight. He promised to buy me the Easter hat I want.
Easter? Is it almost Easter time again?
Of course, Iris. It's a week from tomorrow.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know it? How could you miss all the ads?
So that's what's been cut out of our paper before I get.
Lotus bud.
Tell me, girl, has Christmas been here yet?
Oh, you're a scream. George, did you actually promise to buy Liz an Easter hat?
Well, sure.
Without putting up a struggle?
Yes. You're something of an idiot, aren't you, boy?
Well, but what's the harm in buying a little hat?
When you've been married as long as I have, you'll know that a woman can parlay a bonnet into a whole spring wardrobe.
Liz, is that true?
Absolutely not. Although, come to think of it, the straw hat I picked out won't go with my last year's outfit at all.
I rest my case.
Sorry, Liz, I'm not going to get stung for a whole outfit.
But, George, what am I going to wear in the Easter parade?
A new hat, and that's all.
Well, all right, but I'm liable to collect a crowd.
Yeah. She'll really be the grandest lady in the Easter parade.
Iris, what's happened? When George and I were first married, I got a complete new outfit every Easter.
So did I, girl.
George used to say he liked to show off my cute little figure.
So did Rudolph.
Whatever happened to those husbands?
The same thing that happened to those cute little figures.
What?
Rudolph.
Touché, Mr. Atterbury.
What do you mean? What happened to our figures? I'll have you know I can still wear a size 12.
Me too.
Iris, Liz isn't talking about her shoe size.
Neither am I.
I have exactly the same measurements as the day George and I were married.
Oh, now, let's face it, honey. We've all put on a little weight in the interim.
That's not the only place.
Just never mind. George, do you remember that blue dress I had the first Easter we were married?
Yeah.
Well, I still have it, and I'm going up right now and put it on, and it'll fit perfectly, too.
Oh, Liz, it doesn't matter.
I'll show you. Come on, Iris. I know that dress is here somewhere. Oh, here it is.
Oh, look at the cut of it, Liz.
Yeah, it's been up here so long, it's back in style again.
You know, you're right.
The idea of George thinking I couldn't get into this dress. See how easily it slips down over my shoulders, and down over my waist, and down over my... down over my... down over my...
What's the matter, girl?
I've hit a snag.
Yeah.
Never mind. The dress has shrunk, that's all.
Girl, this is Iris. Save that propaganda for the boys. Admit it, you put on weight in the hips.
I prefer to think of it as a little avoirdupois on the back of my lap.
Well, whatever you call it, it's still in the way. The dress won't come down over your hips.
Look, maybe if you pull on the bottom of the skirt and I hold my breath, we can do it.
Well, all right, girl. I'll try.
Okay, pull. Pull some more.
You're pulling. It's too bad we don't have a big shoehorn. Hold your breath.
I did it. Come on, let's go down and show George.
Hold it, girl.
What's the matter?
You have a bad case of gaposis.
Huh?
You aren't zipped up the side.
Oh, I thought it was too easy. Zip me up, please.
Okay. Hmm. There's something in the way.
What?
You. Hold your breath again.
Okay.
There. We made it. Now, don't dare exhale until we go down and show you to the boys. Come on.
George, boy, what's taking the girls so long up there?
Oh, who knows?
Here we are.
Liz, my gosh, you made it. You got into that dress.
She's got you, boy.
Oh, I'm amazed. Oh, I never thought you could do it. Did you have any trouble, Liz?
No, it was a cinch.
Gee, how long's it been since you wore that, Liz?
10 years.
Well, Liz's voice has changed.
Liz, is something wrong?
Nope.
Are you holding your breath?
No.
I might have known.
Can't look at her face. I've never seen such an interesting shade of blue.
Okay, she's in the dress, George. I guess she proved her point. Come on, Liz, let's go take it off.
No, wait. I want to look at Liz some more. I think it's remarkable that she hasn't gained an ounce in 10 years.
Yes, come on, Liz.
You keep out of this, Lotus Bud.
You're sure you're not holding your breath, Liz?
No.
Well, let's go.
No, stick around, Liz. I want to admire you in that dress. Oh, just stand there and let me look at you.
Oh, dear.
Cheap material.
Well, Liz, I guess you'll have to admit you've gained a little weight.
Well...
too bad, girls. George and I had just decided if you actually had the same figures you did 10 years ago, we were going to buy you both new Easter outfits.
You were?
We were? Oh, yes, we were. Well, too bad. Better luck next Easter.
Oh, nuts.
Wait a minute. It's still a deal.
What do you mean?
There's still time. If Iris and I reduce until we have those measurements again, can we have new Easter outfits?
Yeah.
Well, can we, huh?
I guess we're in for it, George. But let's get a few things straight. Just what size do you girls plan to diet back to?
12.
Iris, how about you?
24.
Now, just a minute, Lotus Bud. You said you used to wear a 12, too.
12 times 2. That's 24.
Iris, either you get down to a 12 or the deal's off.
All right.
We'll go down to Miller's first thing tomorrow and have them put aside 2 size 12 suits.
Yeah, and we'll go along to see that they really put aside size 12.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you trust it.
And first thing tomorrow, we start eating watercress sandwiches.
Mmm. Iris, I just thought of something.
What's that, girl?
If we get down to size 12 again, we'll be so gorgeous we won't have to look for new suits. We can look for new men.
Well, say, speaking of men, you can make the men in your family happy tomorrow if you top off that Easter dinner with a grand and glorious Jell-O chocolate pie for dessert. Velvety, rich, and creamy, extra, extra chocolatey good, thanks to that exclusive Walter Baker chocolate blend. The easy recipe is on every package of Jell-O chocolate pudding and pie filling. Just add milk, and it takes about 5 minutes to cook. You'll find other exciting new recipes there, too, such as chocolate banana fluff, and cool, refreshing chocolate mint pudding. All of them quick and easy. All of them with that just right flavor blend that suits everybody's taste. All three Jell-O puddings and pie fillings make wonderful puddings, make perfect pies. Chocolate, butterscotch, and vanilla. They're creamy, smooth, they're rich and velvety. They're easy as pie to fix. And all three gay new packages have delicious recipes on them that you'll certainly want to try. Your folks will love them. So whether you want pudding or whether you want pie, it's Jell-O puddings and pie fillings for the best in both. Yes, Jell-O puddings and pie fillings for red letter desserts.
And now back to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband. As we look in on the Coopers once again, we find them with the Atterberries in Miller's department store.
I think the suit's over this way, Iris.
Yeah, I believe you're right, girl.
Well, why don't we go this other way? It's much shorter.
Shorter? That takes us all the way through the lingerie department.
I know.
Yeah, let's go that way.
Never mind, George.
Yeah, they have the cutest models around here.
Mr. Atterbury, you're wasting your time winking at that girl.
Oh, am I?
Yes, Rudolph.
If you pinch her, all you get is wax in your nails. She's a dummy.
Well, it takes one to know one.
It takes one to know one. I don't mind.
May I help you?
Yes, we'd like to look at some suit.
Very well. What size?
12.
All right. I'll see what...
12?
Yes, 12.
Oh, for your daughter?
Never mind, George. No, miss, the suit happens to be for me.
Oh.
I want a size 12, too.
You shut up, Rudolph.
Yes,
just show us the suits. We'll dye it down to fit them. Step this way, dreamer. We have some of our nicest suits right here on the rack.
Oh, this one is just wonderful. Look, Iris, navy with a touch of white on the collar.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's do the next one.
Oh, that's for me. Perfect.
Okay, I'll write it up. Well, we can't take them until they fit us.
There goes my commission.
Just write it up and put them aside.
Well, step over here and I'll make out a sales slip.
Ooh, isn't this exciting, Iris?
Isn't it strange, boy? They're never so happy as when they're spending our hard-earned money.
Incidentally, how much of our precious cabbage will this be?
Oh, I don't know. Look at the price tag.
Okay. Well, not too bad. $13.50.
Let me see that. Look again, boy. That's $135.
For a suit?
Yeah. It at least ought to have two pair of pants.
Well, I can't stand a price like that. I'd better go and tell Liz the deal's off.
Well, wait, boy. We'll never have to buy those suits.
We won't?
No. Here are two suits, size 10. We'll put the size 12 tags on them.
Mr. Atterbury, you're a genius. There's no chance of our getting stuck.
No. Size 10. Iris couldn't even get her arm through the neck hole.
Jiggers, here they come.
Okay, George, it's all set. Now, all we have to do is make the weight.
How much is this going to cost me, Liz?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that. It's, $135.
Oh, is that all?
Who said that?
Mine's 150.
Very reasonable.
Oh, I get it. They don't think we'll be able to do it.
Well, we'll show them.
Yeah, come on, Iris. We'll start our diet right now.
But it's 4:00.
Well, let's go someplace and not have tea.
what a great formula for comedy. A wacky, crazy wife, a husband who's almost as wacky with plotting against each other. What a great formula. Too bad they didn't carry that over to her television show.
Yeah, it's amazing, yeah. Funny thing, this was actually shot as a pilot with Lee Bowman and was basically thrown in because the Eve Arden was not ready to do the Armis Brooks yet, so it was thrown in as a pilot, and they got such a good reaction to it, they went ahead with it. Lee Bowman wasn't available to do the series. That's how Richard Denning got in it. They were originally called George and Liz Cugat. That got changed early in 1947 because it got confused with the band director, Xavier Cugat. And so,
yes, Dave, you know, as I was looking for ads, you know, to put together for today's show, to kind of draw attention there on the Facebook to get people to watch, right? I saw something with the last name Cugat, and I'm like, what?
Right, and that's why they changed it from Cugat to Cougar, or Cooper. And originally, he was written by writers of Fox and Davenport. That's Frank Fox and Bill Davenport, who had written for the Ozzie and Harriet radio show. I left out the 10. That's from Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Pugh, and Jess Oppenheimer, who was also a writer and producer, joined with Lucy and then never let her go. And you'll find, if you listen to many of these episodes, you will find that, especially in the early episodes of I Love Lucy, they adapted these stories for television.
Yeah.
And there's no reason it did work. And it worked just as well on radio as it did on television, as you're hearing here. And it's the reactions and the verbal reactions, because we all know how well Bea Benaderet does with just about anything she gets her hands on.
Yeah.
Especially with radio, she can be a little bit more outlandish. But, a wonderful, wonderful, and just to take this to television, and now it did eventually make it to television. It lasted for 2.5 seasons on CBS, but and originally the Cugats were, he was a bank executive where he was just a banker, and he was more of a middle-class guy when Pugh took it over, the new writers took it over. He was, again, an executive, and she was just the kind of crazy socially social person, a wife. And which, if you recall, at that same time, that was very much like what Jim Backus did with Joan Davis on I Married Joan. So those two shows really were similar, where Joan Davis was crazy, and I forget what Jim Backus did. He might have been in banking as well. But then that's what happened when it went to television. Only lasted 2.5 seasons. They did okay, but nothing like what Lucy did for most of her entire career in television. Yeah. She really was the queen of television.
Absolutely, and she even did pretty well in a few movies.
She did. Yeah. Her last one really being her first dramatic role, she did that made-for-TV movie Stone Pillow. And she was very, very good in that. But remember, she started off as an actress and really more or less a dramatic actress, but she couldn't get the attention with that, which is why she kind of drifted into comedy. She had great – she was not a comedian, but she had great comic timing.
She did a great great expressive face. She was a gun moll in the Three Stooges episode of Three Little Pigskins.
That's right. Yes.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of another film.
An aspect of the program where she said she got a straw hat. And you know what goes with a straw hat, right? A straw
horse?
Dress.
Oh, okay.
A straw dress. They call that a flower sack.
Uh-huh. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly. And it was odd. I'm not sure how it actually went. I know that there was a report, and this is another comedy that was female-based. Laverne and Shirley, when it was viewed in Russia, was explained that scenario was, this is two women in an insane asylum. I wonder how they took Lucy.
Yeah. But and there, you know, she was also in the first full-length Fibbergy and Molly Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy movie, where she was kind of Edgar Bergen's assistant in that, where it was somewhat straight, somewhat comedic. You know, she really hadn't turned into full comic yet. And remember, she also did several suspenses in a full dramatic mode. So
yeah.
She had gained attention, but it wasn't really until she got My Favorite Husband. And then when she hit I Love Lucy on television, it just busted out all over the place. So.
And let's hear some more of her while we have time as we wrap up Iris and Liz's Easter outfits. From My Favorite Husband.
George, boy, I'm certainly glad you invited us over to dinner. For a week now, Iris hasn't served anything but her diet food.
Oh, at your house, too?
I've eaten so many carrots, I'm beginning to whistle at rabbits instead of women.
Have you lost weight?
3 times last night, I stood up and my pants stayed sitting down.
I wish they'd hurry with dinner.
Here they come. Well, looks like they're starting off with hors d'oeuvre. Oh, this should be some meal.
I'm sorry we took so long fixing dinner, fellas.
Oh, I'll bet you boys are starved.
I'll say.
Here, Mr. Atterbury, have a piece of celery.
Oh, thanks.
George?
Mm. Oh, thanks.
One for me and one for Iris.
Mmm.
Mmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, Liz, that was a fine dinner.
Thanks.
Are you kidding, Liz?
Certainly not. This is the way we lose weight. How much have you lost, Iris?
14 pounds.
Oh, I've only lost 12. Well, come on, dinner's over. Let's do the dish.
The housework's easier this way, isn't it?
I'll say.
George, I'm getting worried.
Yeah, so am I. If they lost that much weight, we're in trouble, even with those size 10 suits.
We better go back this afternoon and switch them again. They'll never make it down to a size 8.
Liz, why on earth did you have me meet you here in the malt shop? Are you trying to torture me?
No, I've got a plan. You said last night you lost 14 pounds, right?
Yeah.
You didn't lose half that much, did you?
No.
How much did you lose?
3/4.
3/4 of 14?
No, 3/4 of a pound. How much did you lose?
I gained a pound.
How come?
I don't know. But by the time we lose enough to wear those suits, we'll have to be wheeled in the Easter parade.
So
I called that salesgirl at Miller's this morning, and I made a deal with her. She'll switch the suits to a size 14 and put the size 12 tags on them.
Oh, Liz, you're a genius. Let's order something gooey right now.
I already did. I ordered 2 double fudge sundaes, smothered in whipped cream, nuts, and cherries.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Those are for me. What do you want?
The same.
Waiter, double up on those sundaes and give me a milkshake while I'm waiting.
Hey, Miss Evans, could I see you a minute?
What is it? Morgan, I was just going out to lunch.
Hey, keep your eyes open. There's been another outbreak of shoplifting in the dress and suit department.
I haven't seen a thing.
Well, I don't wonder. Their technique is to put the clothes on under their own dresses and walk out that way.
Oh.
Well, you run along. I'll keep an eye on your department while you're gone.
Pardon me. I'm looking for the salesgirl who waited on me. Miss Evans, I think her name was.
Well, I'm sorry. She's out to lunch. Can someone else help you?
No, thanks. We'll just look around by ourselves.
Ah.
Gone, Iris?
Yeah.
Good. And let's grab two size 14 suits and see if they fit us.
Okay. Here are the 14s.
Good. Now, let's go in the dressing room. These ought to fit us easy.
Oh, sure.
I'll just slip this skirt on and... And the jacket. And I'll button it up.
I think we can get into these.
Oh, dear. Look at me, Iris.
It is skin tight, isn't it?
It's tighter than that. I can move in my skin. How does yours fit?
Which way are the 16s?
Well, come on. Let's go out and try them. I wonder if they have a navy blue tent with a white collar.
The 16 should be right along here. What's the matter, girl? Did you see yourself in the mirror?
No, look over there. George and Mr. Atterbury.
So what?
So do you want them to find us in these suits? They'll know what we're up to.
Oh, you're right, girl. What'll we do?
They saw us. Quick, back into the dressing room.
Okay.
We gotta get out of these clothes.
We don't have time.
Iris, come out here. Liz, I want to see you right now.
We don't have time to change. What'll we do? We'll have to put our dresses on right over these suits.
I'll give you three, Iris. That goes for you, too, Liz.
Just a second.
Are you ready, Iris?
Wait a minute.
Okay. I feel bulgier than ever. Well, here goes.
Hi, George.
Udo.
What are you two doing here?
I'll bet I know.
What?
Who are you?
I'm the manager. These women are shoplifters.
Shoplifters?
What? Now, just a minute. I'm Rudolph Atterbury, president of the Sheraton Falls National Bank. And
just a moment, Mr. Atterbury, before you blow your top. Do you know what those women have on under their dresses?
No. Do you?
I certainly do.
What?
What? Well, it's an old gag. They put new merchandise on under their dress and walk out with it.
Preposterous. Isn't it, Iris? Isn't it, Lynn?
Are you girls out of your heads? Have you really got stolen merchandise on?
Well, sort of.
Oh, gag! Oh, gag!
Look, we can explain, really. Just get us out of this.
Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Atterbury. Genius. Look, girls, if we get you out of this, will you forget about the Easter suits?
No, that's not fair.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's enough of that whispering. Say, what's your connection with these women anyway, Mr. Atterbury?
I never saw them before in my life.
What?
Neither did I. Oh, they look like shady characters to me.
Never saw us before. Listen, this big fat tub of lard...
Wait, happen- Iris.
Tub?
Let me tell Iris. We are shoplifters.
What? What?
What?
I'm tired of doing all the dirty work for these masterminds.
You masterminds?
Sure. Fagin Atterbury and Blackie Cooper. They made us pose as their wives while they trained us. First it was picking pockets. We got pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that cute little baby kangaroo you picked up at the zoo?
Yeah, his mother never felt a thing.
Then we worked on bigger and bigger things, until one day at a carnival, Liz made me a dare.
She did it, too. But the next 3 months were misery, trying to hide out with a hot merry-go-round on our hands.
Now that's enough. Iris, Liz, are you going to tell the truth or not?
Why, Fagin, we're telling the truth. Raise my right hand and hope to have a new Easter outfit, including gloves, shoes, and hat.
That goes double for me.
What do you say, George?
We're stuck.
Mr. Manager, my good fellow, will you forget this incident if we buy each of the girls a whole new outfit? Well...
How about 2 Easter outfits each?
How about 3? We'll make it 4.
Oh, shut up!
Well, 2 outfits in it's a deal.
2 outfits, yeah, that should be, okay.
Yeah, I suggest you choose them from this department over here, where we keep our more expensive suits.
Happy Easter, Iris.
Just right.
Yes, friend, just right.
Yes, friend,
that glorious just right flavor blend of Jell-O chocolate pudding.
And that glorious just right flavor blend makes grand and glorious chocolate pie, too. So extra, extra chocolatey rich, you say you never tasted anything better. All 3 Jell-O puddings and pie fillings make wonderful pies. Chocolate, butterscotch, and vanilla. You'll find recipes on the gay new packages for chocolate meringue pie and butterscotch pecan pie and fluffy rich vanilla banana pie. And you'll find lots of exciting pudding treats, too. All delicious, all quick and easy. Cause with Jell-O puddings and pie fillings, you just add milk and they take about 5 minutes to cook to velvety smooth perfection. You better stock up on all 3 flavors first thing next Monday. Cause it's Jell-O puddings and pie fillings for red letter desserts.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's transcribed program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The parts of Mr. and Mrs. Atterbury were played by Gail Gordon and Bea Benaderet. Others in the cast were Frank Nelson and Shirley Mitchell. Be sure to watch for Lucille Ball as the hilarious cosmetic dealer in Columbia's picture, The Fuller Brush Girl.
Does coffee, coffee, coffee make you nag, nag, nag?
It's the caffeine in coffee that really does it. The caffeine in coffee that turns an angel into a shrew.
So if coffee, coffee, coffee makes you nag, nag, nag.
Switch to Sanka Coffee, the regular or the instant. Sanka Coffee has 97% of the caffeine taken out. Sanka Coffee can't make you nervous or jittery. Sanka Coffee can't steal your sleep.
So if coffee, coffee, coffee makes you nag, nag, nag...
Switch to Sanka Coffee. Sanka Coffee. Sanka Coffee. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by...
Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings. Yum, yum, yum. Jell-O pat. The Alka pudding chessery.
The name Jell-O is a registered trademark of General Foods. Bob Lamond speaking.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And that's just the beginning of our Easter fun. Do we have morals?
We got one moral so far. Go ahead.
All right, we can do making with the moraling and things, okay. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Cars, Moral of the Story.
As time passes, reduction is easier in mind than matter.
Jump
the blinker on that.
Yeah, I did. My trigger finger got itchy.
Should I repeat?
Yeah.
Among other things. I'll wash my hands, don't worry.
Should I repeat?
If you like.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. As time passes, reduction is easier in mind than matter. There you go.
That'll keep them Martians away.
You had an itchy trigger finger yet last night, too.
Why would you say that?
What? I don't know. Maybe you should itch your finger. I don't know.
I think you hit your head, Jar. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, hello.
You weren't referencing that little. You weren't referencing that city in Ohio, are you?
Parma. There we go.
There we go. Parma.
Parma.
Where you wear your socks of white. You have your checkerboard butterball pink flamingo each and every holiday. What else do you do in Parma? you have white.
You got your pierogies up there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you got a chrome ball on your porch. You got a chrome ball.
Yep.
That's
do you have a flamingo in your front yard?
Yes. Got to have the flamingo.
Okay, there is something to go find. If you want it, or actually I could move it towards you on the interwebs, is the Guggenheim Sauerkraut Band would fit in great with anything from Parma.
Parma?
Again. The Guggenheim Sauerkraut Band.
You can take. There you go.
The Guggenheim Sauerkraut Band is an oompa band. And they're just horrible. And they did it on purpose. It's kind of like, what's that lady singer that sang off key?
Edwards? Joe Stafford and her. Joe Stafford,
yes.
That was her, yeah.
Barbara Streisand.
Edwards.
Her alter ego.
Yeah, their alter ego. Yeah, just like that. I love that stuff. It's so bad, it's good. Oh, I'm hurting right now just thinking about it.
Well, don't think too hard then. Don't think too hard.
Oh, no, it would be great. Where? Yeah, Parma.
Sorry, I'm done. I'm good for now. I'm all Parma'd out.
There you go.
Hey, we got Burns and Allen. I don't know. Have we played a Burns and Allen?
Not in a while.
Yes, we have. One or two.
Yeah, not in a while.
You know, but you know, Burns and Allen, they conquered every medium of their day. You're talking, they were on vaudeville tour. They were in the movies. They were on radio. They were on television. And some of their stuff still survives on the internet. So, but it's just really weird that they weren't headliners in vaudeville, but they were like the fourth act. And then they started sneaking into the movies in the early days of Talking Pictures. Studios hired actors, actually comedians out of vaudeville, because the actors knew how to deliver dialogue and songs. So Warner Brothers, whose Vitaphone variety shorts, Edgar Bergen did a lot of those too, by the way, became headliners. Now, Burns and Allen earned a reputation as being a disappointment act, a reliable disappointment act. It doesn't mean that they were disappointed, just that when someone would get sick or just didn't show up, they could call them in a moment's notice, the two would come in and do the film. And that's how it went with their debut. Now, they were replaced for Fred Allen, and they just ran through their pattern and song and routine in Lamb Chops, 1929. It also, I'm just trying to think here, they kind of got more attention as they went along with the big broadcast pictures, and they were in three of those. And also owed Fred Astaire to an extra row of movies because Fred wanted to succeed in his efforts to make musical feature without Ginger Rogers after Ginger Rogers split up the act. Studio borrowed Burns and Allen from Paramount in 37 for A Damsel in Distress. Their names appeared with Astaire's before the title. Now, Joan Fontaine was assigned to be Astaire's romantic interest, but she proved she couldn't dance. But Burns and Allen had. Burns and Allen did. And actually did a couple of really neat routines. The trio's inspired comic dance in the film's Funhouse sequence and earned an Academy Award for choreographer Herms Pan. I, there are two, at least two dance numbers with Fred Astaire and Burns and Allen. And they both did it. And in those, George Burns did a pretty good job of keeping up with Fred Astaire, believe it or not.
Yep, I bet he did. We do got to get moving here, Dave. Times are wasting. This is Burns and Allen. We'll do some more at the break.
Okay.
Easter Hat War Council from the Burns and Allen show. Do we have a date on this?
We do.
Oh, darn it.
It is 1938. April.
1642.
April 3rd, 1947.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too. Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, our happy postman, Mel Blanc, Elvia Allman, Verna Felton, Loreen Tuttle, and the ladies of the Beverly Hills Uplift Society. For your Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for your everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. Only two more shopping days till Easter. And if your husband hasn't kicked in with the money for that new Easter hat, you better start doing some tall hinting. But first, come along to the Burns house and watch a couple of experts at work. Gracie can out-hint any wife, and George can out-ignore any husband. Good morning, Gracie. Breakfast ready?
All ready, dear. In my Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it.
You seem happy this morning.
Well, what woman wouldn't be happy married to you, George?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Calling you, George, reminds me of a slip I made yesterday. I signed my name Mrs. G. Burns, and this woman who was with me said, "What does the G stand for?" And before I thought, I said, "Generous."
Generous, huh?
In my Easter bonnet with all the frills about it.
Pass the bacon.
Yes, dear. By the way, have you seen the good news in the paper? It looks like income taxes are going to be cut way down. Now you'll just have scads of money.
Yeah, I'll have so much money, I won't know what to do with it.
In my Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it.
Pass the egg.
Yes, dear. Notice the way I colored the eggshells this morning? Blue and pink and speckled.
Yes, they're pretty, but what's the idea?
To remind you of something that's coming.
Something that's coming?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, eggs make me think of hens.
Mm-hmm.
And hens... Uh-oh, your mother's coming.
In my Easter bonnet with all the bells...
Pass the
toast. Yes, dear.
Say, you know, I just thought of something.
What?
Sunday is Easter.
No.
Yes, we'll want to be in the parade, won't we?
Well, yes, we will.
Here, let me get out my billfold.
Why, George, whatever for?
Well, we'll want to look our best, won't we?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, here. Take this dollar and get my suit pressed.
George, wait. Before you put the lock back on your billfold,
yes.
One of the most important things on Easter is a pretty hat.
Oh,
and now,
sure.
If you could
What's
see...
the matter with me? Here I am talking about getting my suit pressed. You'll need some more money.
Well, sure.
Here's another dollar. Have my hat cleaned and blocked.
I'll just have it cleaned. You block it every time you put... Oh, Gracie, let's not lose our head. George, darling, I'd like to have a pretty hat for Easter, too.
Well, here's another dollar. Have yours cleaned and blocked, too.
Well, I can't have last year's Easter hat cleaned and blocked. It's covered with fruit.
Well, have it cleaned and sprayed.
No, you don't understand. The fruit is all faded and withered.
Well, use a little fertilizer on it.
Oh, please, dear, don't force me to wear last year's monstrosity.
Who's going to know whether it's last year's monstrosity or this year's monstrosity?
Oh, now, George, please give me the money.
Now,
for
look, Gracie, you can
come
say...
in.
Hi, Burns, what's doing?
Oh, we're having a little argument, Phil. What about?
Well, I don't want to be seen in the Easter parade with an old out-of-date monstrosity.
leave George home. Willie, you're a wry it.
Bill, when I said an out-of-date monstrosity, I meant last year's Easter hat. George won't give me the money for a new one.
Why not? Hasn't he been told he can't take it with him?
Yeah, he's been told that, but he wants to experiment.
Never mind the smart cracks, young lady. Not going to throw money away on a silly hat. You think you're married to the pot of gold?
She's not sure about the color, but the shape's right.
I'm going in the den and leave you comics without a straight man. And you don't get an Easter hat, Gracie. Times are hard, and I can't afford it.
Gee whiz, so he won't give you money for a hat. Have you tried flattery, Gracie?
That doesn't work anymore, Bill. George is wise to flattery.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to try it.
Oh, okay. But you'll see, it won't work. George?
Yes?
You're the youngest, handsomest, kindest, most talented, best-built, most romantic husband in the world. No, huh?
No.
Oh, thanks anyway.
You're welcome.
Now, you see, Bill?
Yeah. See, I wonder if it'd do any good.
Come in.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns. Here's your mail.
Thank you, Mr. Postman.
Oh, hello, Mr. Goodwin. Oh, hello, Mr. Postman.
Mr. Postman, did your wife get money out of you for an Easter hat?
Oh, yes.
Oh, how did she do it?
By promising me a kiss.
Really?
Yes. She said if I refused to give her the money, she'd kiss me. I'd rather take a beating.
Bad kisser, huh?
Homeliest I've ever seen.
Hey, Mr. Postman, if you feel that way, why did you marry her?
Well, it was the year Roosevelt ran against Hoover.
Yes?
When I make a bet, I pay off.
Well, this isn't getting me an Easter hat. I guess I'll have to use my club to get the money out of George.
Oh, don't beat him with a club. That's cruel.
No, I meant the club I belong to, the Beverly Hills Uplift Society. I'll turn those girls loose on George.
Beat him with a club. It's kinder. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Rock-a-bye Baby. Say, I bet you'd find this one way out front if the small fry had a hit parade of their own, Meredith.
And who's to say they haven't, Bill? It plays a coast-to-coast nursery network every night at sundown, or thereabouts, with Mom featured as MC, and the Sandman always giving his usual dependable performance.
All for the pleasure of some sleepy-eyed kid whose applause is a sleepy smile. Yes, lullaby time means many precious things to all of us, all right? Young and old alike. Most of all, perhaps those moments of peace and contentment that reflect so deeply the meaning of our American scene. And because it offers its own full measure of contentment, Maxwell House Coffee belongs to the American scene, too. Here in America, we've made coffee our favorite drink. And today, more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee at any price. It's Maxwell House wherever you go. Flavor explains this overwhelming preference, that good to the last drop Maxwell House flavor that results from the skillful blending of these carefully selected Latin American coffees. Manizales for mellowness. Medellins for richness. Other choice coffees for vigor. And Bucaramangas for full body. Adding up to coffee you get at its flavor peak. So friends, why not enjoy the finest in coffee drinking pleasure? You can for just a fraction of a penny more per cup than you'd pay for the cheapest coffee sold. Just say, Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Well, Gracie was unable to get George to buy her a new Easter hat, so the minute he left the house, she called in the ladies of the Beverly Hills Uplift Society for a council of war. Poor George. In a bar, they'd refused to give him more than two zombies. But Gracie's going to hit him with a whole house full. And here they are.
Well, I'm so glad you got here. Now, quiet, girls. Quiet. 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 Come to order, please.
And you all know what a hussy she is.
Oh, really, Blanche, when a special meeting of the Beverly Hills Uplift Society is called, we should behave with dignity and not stoop to gossip. Who's the hussy?
Clara Bagley. I can't understand why we ever took that woman into our club.
I heard that, Blanche Morton. Why, Clara, darling, I didn't see you come in.
How dare you call
now,
me...
Now, Clara, that's enough. You came in late, and you know very well that any member does that at her own risk. Now, please, Clara, when Blanche was late last month and heard you call her a fat frump, she was very nice about it. Now, apologize for making a scene.
Okay. I apologize, fat frump.
I accept, hussy.
Now, there. That's the real Uplift spirit. Now, before I explain the purpose of this meeting, we'll have the roll call. Blanche Morton?
Here.
Clara Bagley?
Here.
Catherine Conway?
Here.
Meredith Wilson?
Present.
I'll never get used to him at these meetings.
Well, that's just silly, Catherine. It's been over a year since we made Meredith an honorary woman.
Yes, and I've become thoroughly adjusted to womanhood. Although I admit I still feel just a little conspicuous in the pool at the YWCA.
We're dying to know why you called a meeting, Gracie. Can't we skip the rest of the roll call?
Well, all right, Blanche. Now, you girls are here because I need your help in a crisis. George refuses to buy me an Easter hat.
Oh, my God.
What a very idea.
Isn't that just like a man?
So far, every method has failed. But you may have tried some fresh methods on your husband that I could use on George. In other words, you furnish the new tricks and I furnish the old dog.
Well, we're with you, Gracie.
Oh, we certainly are. We will.
Blanche, did you get money for an Easter hat from Harry?
Yes, and a new frying pan, too.
Oh? How?
I slugged him with the old one.
Well, I couldn't strike George.
Too brutal?
Too brittle.
He is sort of puny.
Clara, did you get hat money out of Joe?
Oh, sure. No trouble at all. You know, Joe's the affectionate type. Until he agreed to give me the money, I wouldn't let him kiss me.
Oh. Well, that wouldn't mean much to George. Some husbands' kisses get better, but his just get higher.
Higher?
Yes. His aim's not what it used to be. First it was his lips. My lips. Then my cheek. And then my forehead.
Well, where is he now?
Well, since last October, he missed me altogether.
My, you're really in trouble.
So, Catherine, did you get Dick to loosen up?
Oh, yes, I got him over a barrel. I found out that he took his secretary to dinner one night. He gave me the money to keep peace in the family.
Oh, but I'd never find my George chasing after a woman. He doesn't have the desire, the inclination, the wind.
What did he say when you asked him for money?
Oh, he said he was too poor to throw money away on a hat. He said he couldn't afford it because times were hard. And he said, girls, I've got it. We'll shame George into giving me the money.
But how am I going to do that?
Well, we'll hurt his pride. Now, here's the plan. At 3 o'clock sharp, I'll have George in the living room. You girls come in one at a time, and then you pretend that you're bringing me supper.
Oh, how I love those crackpot schemes.
And half the time they work. That's the amazing part.
Yep. Great vehicle for these old sitcoms. And this is a good one for radio with George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Dave, you had mentioned Edgar Bergen. You know, he was a better ventriloquist on radio than anywhere else.
Yes.
Because he always got caught moving his lips, and he always called himself on it, too. But when, you know, when he was being Charlie, he said, I saw your lips moving, things like that, you know. Yeah.
That's, you know, bad when your dummy tells on you.
Yeah. His last performance, I think he was around Cincinnati, but his last television performance was on when television did their version of The Big Show. And he was on that, and I think he passed away the week after that aired. That was kind of his last shot at what was going on, although he still toured. And
I personally avoid puppets. I find them to be too much of an easy door to go through if you're a schizophrenic.
Yeah, but do you move your lips when you're doing them? That's the question.
I never look in a mirror.
Yeah.
I know I've mentioned it before, but a good movie about that very thing is Magic with Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun little tale. I hope you die first.
And Margaret for fun? You know, and Margaret.
Oh,
rattle.
Yes.
Uh-huh. If I was a demented schizophrenic, which I'm not, having Ann Margaret as prey would be fun. Oh, we can't say that, can we? No, we can't. No.
Well, too late.
Just just a quick couple things about their radio show. It started in 1934. It was called The Adventures of Gracie. You know, the title was in 1936 changed to Burns and Allen Show, which had stayed. Moving back and forth between NBC and CBS until 1950. And then when it ended on radio, it went straight to television in 1950 and went on for another 7 years there. So quite an amazing run from vaudeville to movies to radio to television that they had. That's,
yep.
I cut it short this time.
This is a fun adventure, too, with the whole, what are we going
to,
what?
Oh, yeah, wait till we get the Gracie's scheme in full mode here. The thing is funny, you know, George doesn't ever seem to know what's going on. What's funny in the television, George broke that fourth wall that everybody said would never work. He talked to the camera, the audience, then would go back into the show. And when he talked to others, he felt like he knew everything that was happening was going on. Then he'd go back in there and was just as befuddled as he was before. You know, so, you know.
It's a good shtick. I like
it. It is a good shtick, yes.
And speaking of good things, we got a good caller right now. Hello. Welcome to Erie House.
Hello. This is CW.
Hey, CW.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome, Hobby Eastern. Hobby Eastern. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for joining the asylum.
The straight jackets are over to your left.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll take that one over there, that size there. You can add the shock treatment. That's extra, right? Oh, dear. Well,
yes. They still do it.
We're running a sale, though, on an extra high voltage. Yes.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ooh. By 40 volts,
you get
73.
Extra quarter in the slot, right?
Okay.
Yep. There you go. There you go. If you have a coupon, it's double off today.
Mm-hmm.
A coupon for shock.
Right.
And if if you don't have one, you can pick one up off the internet or on your smartphone.
Yeah.
So you're fine.
Okay. Well, I do have one for Arkham. Do you take competitors' coupons? And one from Arkham Asylum? Mm-hmm.
Yes. you have to trade them in through Batman.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, Batman has to flip the currency. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That man's not into Bitcoin. He's into Batcoin.
There you go.
Oh,
what
my.
A card.
Oh, you CW. I hope you're doing well.
You as well. I hope you're doing well as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been down here 14 days. Nobody looks for me. I don't know.
Down in the dungeon?
Why are you lost?
Another 3 weeks. With another 3 weeks, we throw you a rope.
Okay.
That's right.
I'll wait.
Okay.
It'll be a greased rope, but a rope nonetheless.
Hello. Grease, is that extra? Ooh.
Yes. For you, yes.
For me, yes. So you'll have your Easter Bunny mittens on there, CW?
My Easter Bunny slippers,
mittens.
Yes.
Slippers? No mittens.
Slippers.
Oh.
Slippers.
Oh, no mittens.
No mittens.
It's
slippers.
Hard to dial a cell phone with those mittens on, but it can be done.
Yep.
I do that with the rabbit ears, the bunny ears.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
There you go.
I'm hoping the Easter Bunny comes down the chimney and leaves something better than last year. Last year he left me. I just hope I get something better than last year. Last year he left me raisins. These little raisins, and they tasted horrible.
Raisins.
Yeah. They tasted horrible.
Better than it's better than the White House dog leaves. So you know.
Yeah, there you go.
You know the thing about the Easter Bunny coming down the chimney like that only sounds like something that would happen in Parma. No.
Just snakes. Excuse me, my hearing's going. What? Where did you say?
You've created a monster.
There we go. I'm not always ready with my Parma trigger there.
No, you're not.
Is he ragging on poor Parma?
Yes. It's a Cleveland thing. We can't help ourselves.
Yep, it's a Cleveland thing.
Are you anywhere near
have you ever
Parma?
Heard of John
CW?
No.
Nowhere near Parma. But you should listen to the John Denver song, Cleveland, Ohio.
Really? I did not know he had a Cleveland, Ohio song.
I know he had a song about Toledo, Ohio. He had a song about Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, you're right, Toledo.
Yeah.
Toledo, Cleveland,
yeah,
Toledo.
Yeah.
Same
yes.
difference.
Yeah.
Same thing, yeah. It's
kind of like Parma. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, part of the lyric is that's how I know Toledo, Ohio. Well, I spent a week there one day, yeah.
Yep, that's fun.
Yep.
The thing about Parma
gives you
a window of just a look inside what goes on in the metropolis, the bustling metropolis known as Toledo.
Toledo.
Toledo. Yeah, George
Once
Carlin let go a thing called something called Toledo Window Box. You remember?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. It was really bad. The product, the album. He was talking about a certain thing. We called it Toledo Window Box. It was horrible.
Oh, yes. A type of substance.
Box.
Yes.
Yes. That had been legalized in some states where
yes.
they're into that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Congrats to Dave on reaching the century mark on your shows.
No.
Yeah.
Every 100 of it too. Yeah.
Century.
while we're talking about it, we're having on Monday the 11th, or Sunday the 11th, next a week from tomorrow, we're having a big Facebook Live party, inviting everybody here and everybody who wasn't here to come join us for our Facebook party. But we will share that with all the world on a Facebook Live presentation of the weirdest, really bad movie, the 100th edition.
There you go.
What time?
I think it's 7:00. I have to look and see, but I'm pretty sure it's like 7:00. So I think we get that before your bedtime, so we're okay.
Yeah.
My bedtime? I'm rising until midnight
tonight.
So.
Yeah. No, I said Dale's. Dale's bedtime.
Oh, Dale. Dale's like 7:30, right?
You're lucky. You guys are lucky I'm awake now. Or are you? Hey, we got next to no time left, so let's wrap up Iris and Liz's Easter outfits from My Favorite Husband. We'll be back. I promise.
I'll see you guys later. Bye!
Bye!
George, boy, I'm certainly glad you invited us over to dinner. For a week now, Iris hasn't served anything but her diet food.
At your house,
wrong,
too?
Wrong show.
I've eaten so many carrots, I'm beginning to whistle at rabbits.
My gosh, it is. Sorry, gang.
What time is it, dear?
Exactly 3 o'clock.
Oh, good. Answer the door.
Answer the door? Nobody buzzed. Must be something wrong with my ears. Come in.
Good afternoon.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Morton.
I brought you poor people a bundle of old clothes.
Poor people?
Yes. The news is all over town that you're poverty-stricken.
Oh, dear. And I thought it was just a family secret.
Oh, you poor, brave little thing, you. Going through life without a stitch on your back.
Yes. There wouldn't be a stitch on me anywhere if I hadn't had my appendix out.
Well, let me in on this. What's going on here?
Take these clothes, Gracie. Here's a dress I don't need.
Look, George, a dress for me.
And here's one of my old corsets.
Look, something for you, too.
And here's one of my husband's old suits for Mr. Burns, too.
But we're not poor. Where did you ever get the idea that we...
Oh, hello, folks.
Well, hello, Mrs. Bagley.
Don't get up, Mr. Burns. I know how weak you must be.
Weak?
Yes, from hunger. I heard about the fix you're in, so I brought over some soup.
Soup?
Oh, thank you, Clara.
Yes. We don't need any soup, Mrs. Bagley. We got plenty of soup.
The Salvation Army got here first?
Yeah, with hot soup.
Yeah.
Love soup with hot.
Clara, it's just his pride. What kind of soup did you bring?
Chicken.
With noodles?
Yes.
Oh, George, did you hear that? We can have the soup tonight and the noodles tomorrow.
Look, Gracie, whoever told me...
Come in.
Oh, you poor, poor people. I heard the awful news.
Now, see here, Mrs. Conway.
I'm not a wealthy woman, but I can always scrape together a few pennies for the needy. Here, take this quarter.
Oh, bless you, Catherine.
Mrs. Conway.
How did it happen, Gracie? Your husband's been on the radio for years. Didn't he save any money?
Not a cent. He's told thousands of jokes, but he never laid a nest egg.
Oh, how terrible.
Oh,
wait a minute, girl. Girls, wait a minute. Girls, wait a minute. I have to make myself for Jack Benny to be heard. Now, Gracie, get these dames straight about that crazy rumor. Tell them we're not broke.
Now, dear, it's no disgrace.
What do you mean it's no disgrace?
And it doesn't matter to me. I still love you. Girls, one, two.
La-dee-da.
What is this going to be?
Other women may walk in their sable and mink, with pheasant to eat and champagne to drink.
We're at the Jefferson again.
But I will wear rags, and on crumbs I will dine, and stay with that shabby old husband of mine.
Gracie, I...
What if the house is as cold as a stone? What if one tattered garment is all that I own? What if wolves at our door are waiting in line? I still have that barefooted husband of mine.
Gracie,
la-dee-da.
Look, girl, stop with that la-dee-da. can't afford to have a rumor going around that I'm broke. Gracie, what did you plan to spend on an Easter hat?
Oh, about $20.
Here's 25. That ought to show these friends of yours up.
Well, better make it 30. I have other friends, too.
All right, take 30.
Oh, thank you, George. Well, girls, as long as you're here, let's go in the den and have a nice visit.
I wonder if I've been had.
Meredith Wilson's Orchestra, It's a Good Day. Gave Gracie the money for an Easter hat, huh, George?
Well, gee, Bill, I had to. Rumor got around that we were destitute. Neighbor women started bringing me old clothes and soup and money.
No fooling.
Yeah. Imagine offering us charity. Mrs. Morton even had the nerve to bring me one of her husband's old cast-off suits. Here, look at it.
Hey, George, that doesn't look bad on you.
Really?
No.
Of course, I just tried it on for a gag.
Mm-hmm.
Don't intend to keep it.
Then why have you made those... Hey, why'd you make those chalk marks where you want it altered?
Sort of an act to me.
Yes.
Well, those aren't chalk marks, Bill. I spilled some soup on it.
Noodles, right?
Noodle soup. Those are noodles.
Noodles?
Mrs. Bagley makes very good chicken soup.
Oh, you don't like charity, huh?
Look, it cost me $30. For that, I can eat a little.
Noodle soup.
Noodle soup. Come in. Hello, all. Oh, hello, Meredith.
Hi, Meredith.
I'm sorry to be late, George, but here's my bundle. I managed to scrape together some tuxedo studs, a pair of tennis shoes, and a book of Bach fugues arranged for drums, marimba, and sousaphone. Where are the other girls? Other girl?
The other girls at the Beverly Hills Uplift Society.
Oh, the other girl.
George, Gracie gave us specific instructions to be here with our bundles at 3 o'clock. But
Wait a minute. This was all planned by Gracie?
Down to the last detail. She certainly is clever, George. She makes me proud to be a woman.
That is. Go in the den and join your sisters.
Very well.
Oh, go. Rooked by the uplifters.
George, listen. Are you just going to stand there and let those women make a sucker out of you? Now go in there and tell them off. Throw them out of the house.
Bill, a fella can get killed in there.
Okay, then I'll do it for you.
Gee, would you, Bill?
Well, certainly. After all, you're my oldest friend.
I am?
Sure. I got friends I've known longer, but you're the oldest one.
Will you tell them, Bill?
Will I tell them?
What'll you tell them?
Make up your mind now.
Well, what'll you tell them?
I'll read them the riot act.
Yes.
I'll say, now listen, you dames.
Yeah.
Listen, you miserable, conniving wenches.
Nice opening.
Yeah, you... You call yourselves women? I've seen better-looking pans under iceboxes. Now, clear out before I spray you with DDT.
With DDT?
Yeah.
Attaboy, Bill. Come on in and tell him.
Okay.
I never had these quiet.
Girls. Bill's got something to say to you.
Okay, Bill.
Karen.
Okay, George.
Karen.
Yeah. Now, listen, you dames, you. I... Where's that wonderful smell coming from?
Oh, from the kitchen, Bill. We're making some coffee.
Oh. Now, listen, you dames. I... Maxwell House?
Well, of course.
The riot act, Bill. The riot act. Read it.
It's so rich and delicious and mellow.
Yes. We love that famous Maxwell House flavor.
Well, Mrs. Morton, that's the result of careful selection and blending of choice Latin American coffees, radiant roasted to perfection.
Wenches, Bill. Wenches. Miserable wenches, remember? Wenches. Miserable.
It's no wonder more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
Oh, you said it, Mrs. Bagley.
And they connive, too. Tell them.
Yeah, tell them. Girls, Maxwell House is absolutely tops in coffee drinking pleasure.
Yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy.
That's right. So much more for so little more.
Well, tell them about the pans under the icebox.
No wonder so many men of Americans agree today's coffee buy is Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good.
To the last drop.
Now spray him with DDT, Bill. Get rid of him.
Why, you miserable little shrimp.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes. It's an honor to have this group of beautiful, intelligent women in your house.
Oh, Mr. Goodwin, if I weren't married, I'd hug you. Oh, me too.
I'm single.
Get out of here, Goodwin. I'll handle this myself. Now listen, you dames. I know I've been framed, and I want my $30 back. Give me that, Gracie.
Why, Gracie, he snatched it right out of your hand. George Burns, you want to be thrashed. I wish I were a man.
Me too.
Me too.
So do I.
Now, George... Uh-oh, we lost Dave.
Don't be too harsh with George. Maybe he has a right about that hat.
Whoops.
Well, are you defending that old wrinkle foot?
Grant, please. That old wrinkle puss is my husband.
Love me.
I'm too much of a lady to say what he is, but he's the biggest one I ever saw.
Now, you girls stop talking about him.
Are you sticking up with this clown with a one-way pocket?
Yes, I am. Right or wrong, he's the only husband I've got.
Well, I like that. We knock ourselves out trying to help you, and then you start defending him.
Oh, don't forget, he's the head of this house.
He couldn't be the head of a mouse hole.
If that's the way you feel, girls, you better leave.
Now, think it over, Gracie. If we leave, you are no longer an uplifter.
Well, that suits me just fine. If it comes to choosing between my club and my husband, I'll take my husband.
Well!
Now, get out of here, you old clothes. Scoop!
My goodness!
Gracie, I'm proud of you.
Well, they can't pick on you. That's my privilege.
Believe me.
Hey, that's a good one, Gracie. Very good.
Appreciate watching.
All right, gang, we got to wrap up show tonight. We'll be back next week with a confession story. I'm talking Inner Sanctum, Whistler, 11th Hour, Mr. and Mrs. North, Barry Craig. That's right, five shows next week as well. Thanks for joining us, and I'm going to hang out in the after party with Dave and CW.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Wow. Snuck that ending in there. Dave, are you back?
Cool.
I see Dave, but I hear not. I hear no Dave. We're quite Daveless. But I have CW here in the after party, do I not?
You do. I am here. Are you able to hear me?
Yep. Did you get to enjoy the Lucy show that we started with before you joined us?
No, I apologize. I'll have to catch that in the archive. But I know.
Yeah, it's epic Lucille Ball.
Well, anything.
Can you hear me now?
Anything.
Yes, Lucille we can.
Ball.
Welcome back, David.
I didn't think I was getting disconnected just before I did that I'd be able to get back in, but here I am.
We just squoze in or squeezed in? Squoze. Squoze is not a word, so we squeezed in. Ending.
As a spoiler alert to those that were listening then, she gets the money, and then she opens the window. They're all outside the window, and she says, thanks, we got the money. And there you go.
And she got her new Easter clothes. There you go.
There you go. Yep.
Oh, gosh, I remember as a kid having to...
all the frills upon it.
Yeah, I remember the Easters of long ago and the family getting y'all plastered up for church or meeting relatives or whatever on Easter. Ugh. That Aquanet that turned your hair into cement.
Aquanet? Try dippity-doo.
Aquanet. Oh, no dippity-doo for me.
That's what my mother used on me, but not on Easter. But, and man... mix that with water. Yeah, concrete.
Oh, gosh.
Good God.
What, I can imagine what you poor women went through.
I had a stubborn rooster tail. And if you look at my show,
my mother
notice...
was smart. She just...
go ahead.
She parked me in a hair salon and said, fix it, and I'll pick it up later. So that's pretty much it.
And if you watch my shows, you'll see that my hair never really cooperates with the rest of me. We were early on, it may have been some of the first stuff we did. And I kind of looked at my camper and said, Debbie, why don't you tell me my hair was this bad? She said, Dave, your hair is always that bad. I said, oh, okay. And she said, that's your style. I said, okay, whatever. To this day, it does whatever the heck it wants.
Bad hair.
Yeah, pretty much. I was forced to go to the salon where they had to pretty much almost throw me in the trunk of the car to get me there.
Oh, wow.
Why was that? Why would you fight that? I'm curious.
I have very, my hair was quite long at the time and was very unruly. I got to the point where I knew how to handle it. My mother threw up her hands ages ago and let a friend who used to work as a hairstylist work on me. But for special occasions or when she just felt that I looked something out of a old Tarzan movie, she would make me go to a hairstylist. And they would fight with my hair for about 2 hours. I'd get shampooed. I'd get, I don't know how much conditioner they had to use on my hair to finally get it to calm down, a Trank gun maybe. And then they'd comb it out. They were always asking, would you cut your hair? And I would have gone ballistic if anyone cut my hair at the time. I did not want it cut at all. I didn't speak to my mother for we're talking serious anger management here.
Couldn't be prouder.
Yeah.
Because I was the same kid. Oh my gosh, was I a pain in the butt when it came to haircuts. My poor parents.
Yeah, because I had hair down to my back. It's past my shoulders now, but not as long as it was. But it was just I just braided it up. And even as a teenager, said, why don't you put your hair in hairstyles and do this and that? And I said, that's why we have hats. And I threw my hat on, and that's when I started wearing hats. And pretty much she left me alone after that because I was getting older and I was fighting back. My father just would just look at both of us and just go off someplace and kind of do his own thing, hide maybe in the basement or someplace. I don't know.
Hide in the basement.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the story of my Easter, basically being hogtied, made to go to a stylist, a professional, and then, you know, but after a time, we just stayed home. My parents would contact the relatives, and they'd say, come on over. Quite frankly, both my parents came up from huge families, and they said, maybe next time, because they liked the peace and quiet of not having all those siblings around.
Yeah,
frankly, I was
that.
Happy just watching Ben-Hur on TV.
There you go. That was an Easter favorite. That and Ben-Hur and or the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Or what? King of Kings. King of Kings.
Well, actually, Ten Commandments is airing on network Easter Sunday tomorrow night. Ooh. I think you're taking like 4 hours, 4.5 hours to air it.
I'll make a note to break a few.
There you go. Okay. Well, I think we all do, don't we? Except for CW.
I think yes, I'm totally honest as the day is long, I am. But anyway.
Women don't lie.
But one of,
come on, you're pulling our leg.
Of course.
Neither do men. Oh,
but I think a lot of the online services are showing the Ten Commandments and or Ben-Hur and all that other stuff as well. I think Peacock is showing something. Also Pluto. What was the other one? Tubi. And
Tubi.
I know all the pay services are showing something. Tubi. Yep. And there's a U.S.
I get a kick out of it. I know it's Tubi, but my wife keeps... I know it's called Tubi, but my wife keeps calling it Tubby. So I just kind of quietly smile whenever she says that. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I am so grateful for all this free stuff because it's saving me a boatload of cash. You can skip Netflix and Hulu and all that business. Thanks, Gar, by the way, for all those lighter shades of sites.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, memories of Easter. Hairstyle. And yes, it's true. Ladies hairstylists, I don't know, probably guys as well. But, all they do is yak about everything and gossip and gossip and gossip and gossip some more. Now you just pretty much gossip on your social media. Everyone's plugged in, and the hairstylists are between doing heads and checking their Snapchat.
There's certainly enough of a way out there to get the message, whatever your message is.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Easter's and other holiday family gatherings. The men would play cards, and the women would either gossip. But a couple women sometimes would jump in and play cards, but... usually that's what happened.
Is that why all the other wives are wondering, well, what do you mean you don't have any money? What happened to it? And then you have another lady coming out with a brand new dress.
Crap game.
Yeah, we always did the trek from Buffalo back to Lima. That was like an eight and a half hour drive for Easter. Easter and New Year's. New Year's was a big family reunion thing, New Year's was a big family reunion thing, but Easter was just a time for the family and our own little Easter egg hunt, that kind of a thing, and a big Easter dinner, that kind of a thing. But and breakfast at my grandfather's church they served a sunrise breakfast, which led you into the service. So,
oh, neat.
So that's kind of what our Easter was like.
Yeah, we did. I grew up with a Catholic family, so we took the baskets to the church. You'd put your and of course with the Polish folks that had adopted me, there'd be kielbasa, a little bit of horseradish. I'll explain its use later. At the actual root horseradish, not the ground up, you know, not the goo you buy in a jar, but actual root. It looks like a white carrot. And boy, are they strong.
Yeah.
But what else did we put in there? Some good rye bread, some of your hard-boiled eggs, of course. And we would get butter. Oh, I love the lamb butters. They had little butters shaped like lambs. I couldn't wait to cut the damn thing's head off.
Hey, did your family ever purchase punschkis?
You don't know.
My wife did, and her grandmother also made them, and she made them, according to my wife, she only remembers them being made with the prunes. And you can't find those anywhere around here.
No, you can't. I think there's a place in Amherst that has them. There's a very Polish bakery there. I don't know how they're doing this time of year. And my condition is such that I'm not running to buy any punschkis. I shouldn't be eating them.
Yeah, that would not bode well for you.
Yeah, dough and sugar.
Standing by.
Dough and sugar, probably not a bad good mix.
I always drive my wife.
No, I had one.
I look at the box. I was gonna say I look at the box. I call them pizzakis to make my wife upset. Hey, how do you think I got pizzakis here?
Keep up the good work. We're here to drive the women crazy.
No, I
I'm doing a fine job
because it had it had that fluffy cream you find in Bismarck's.
A custard
one, and not a custard. It's a different kind of cream. It's almost it's fluffy. It's almost like a meringue. I can't remember what it is exactly. It's not. It's not a cream. It is a cream, but it's not the kind you're thinking of. It's not the yellow cream. It's a white, frothy cream you find in a Bismarck pastry. But anyway, the punschkis that I tried was at a store. What was it? A Kroger or something. Was it a Kroger or whatever? But anyway, I tried one, and that was like one bite was like 12 glazed donuts. And I
Yeah, they're very heavy.
Broken apart.
Yeah.
And
they get me high. It's a sugar buzz, man.
Really. So I just threw it, and the seagulls were loving it. They were probably hopped up on it for at least a day and a half. But
yeah. Let's fly around the city sometimes. Yay.
Yay. Yep. Oh, look, is that Tippi Hedren? Let's go for her. Yay.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, jeez. Tippi Hedren. Fun. They say Hitchcock ruined her.
Hitchcock was kind of great director, but really off the wall kind of guy. I mean, he was, let me put it this way, probably would have been right up there with Weinstein today.
Really? Oh, boy. That can't
be good. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis's mother, Janet Lee, had a few stories that I read during one of her interviews. It's online. You're speaking of, what's his name, Anthony Hopkins in Magic. He did a version of Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, really?
And Alfred Hitchcock was something. It's really good. It's him, Anthony Hopkins, and
Was that the thing called Hitch? I think it was called.
Yes. Yeah, you need to see that. It's really good movie.
I'd like to.
It goes into, you know, how they had, you know, they had some money troubles, and he had this big appetite, not just for food, but he liked the finer things, champagne, wines, and caviar and all that business. And she was an excellent writer in her own right, trying to get out from under his shadow and whatnot. It's a really good movie, but also the fact that he was Peeping Tom. But I digress.
Oh, that was his deal, huh? Weirdo.
He did like the blonde starlets, did he not?
Yes.
That seems to be a pattern. I don't know what it was about blondes.
I would think that, too. No offense. I mean, great director, excellent wit, but not the best looking man in the world.
No, even when he was younger, he was still kind of portly.
Yeah.
He was an awkward child that grew into an awkward adult. Yeah.
Awkward.
Awkward. At least he was able to exude his talent, more or less, well, less or more. But director. But other than that, everything else was below par.
It's amazing how some people have such great talent, but they're not really good people. Whether they're sports figures, mm-hmm. whether they're entertainers, some of them are just like incredibly talented, but just wow.
I'm waiting for the bomb to drop with Tom Hanks. I mean, what's with him? I mean, I haven't heard any scandals about him, you know.
Well, there's always those.
Kilos of coke in his car.
But there's always those, and they don't get as much attention as the bad boys. Some people feel there's no such thing as bad press. If you're getting press, it's good.
I think another one like that would have been Jimmy Stewart never really had bad press
never.
As far as
nope.
about doing bad things.
I think the non-partiers too tended to stay out of trouble. The more reserved ones, those were the ones that you know they had the stronger marriages. They had the they stayed on the good side of the law.
Jimmy Stewart, very powerful actor in the sense that, you know, if he could hold his own against John Wayne, that movie, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Great performances, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he stood right up to John Wayne's character and everything. This, you know, law book.
He stood up to Lee Marvin, too.
Now that was something else. Yeah.
Yep. That was a good, like, you know, kind of a naive guy makes out good.
Isn't that what a lot of his characters were like?
Yeah.
Naive guys, even in The Man Who Knew Too Much, he was naive in that. The Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, certainly naive in that. You know, so many of his films.
Mm-hmm. The last film that John Wayne did, he was the physician in the movie The Shootist.
Yes.
Howard.
And he wasn't naive even then. And there's also one of his first films, I think it's the only film I can think of where Jimmy Stewart was ever a bad guy, was one of the Thin Man movies. It may have been the first
Thin Man. That's right. He was the killer. I'd forgotten that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of a Western they've been blasting the heck out of on Pluto. It's really in the flavor of the Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns, Sergio Leone's Once Upon a Time in the West. Such great music.
Yeah,
a really good movie. Yeah, and him playing a bad guy is not something you're used to, but he was quite sinister as the gunfighter Frank.
He was worse than Charles Bronson, worse than Jason Robards. I mean, really mean.
But was he meaner than John Lithgow?
Henry Fonda shot a kid.
That would rival it.
Cute little strawberry blonde kid.
Yep. Torched him.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what he gets, being in that movie.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you know that movie, CW. It's got a fond place in my heart. It's in one of my top 10 all-time westerns.
Oh, yeah. And here's a good note. His daughter, Jane Fonda, after he finished that film, wrote him a letter and just sent him, "Bravo, wonderful movie," because all the films before that, he was just this good guy. And he just tore through there, just absolute incarnate evil. No repentance at all.
No.
And she said she thought that was one of the best movies he ever did.
Yeah. Definite Sergio Leone material, too. Great.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, spaghetti. The photography, too. Like, I don't know if that was the Grand Tetons in the background. All these big mesas and stuff. It was a really nice, long shot.
It looked like around, more around New Mexico, Nevada area. It looked too arid to be the Grand Tetons. But
yeah,
anyway,
you're probably right.
Beautiful,
you're probably
beautiful
right.
Mountain range.
Oh, gosh.
Beautiful mountain range.
One of the shots was so long and wide. The action, and you'll remember the part with the hanging, CW, when they panned out wide, way in the back by the mesa-topped mountains back there, there was a storm raging, but the foreground was in sunlight. It was such a wide shot, you know. It's so much scenery in it. It was amazing.
And since we're touching on Westerns, that hanging scene is, I think they took a page out of that in the Sharon Stone Western vehicle that was Sharon Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Hackman. Leonardo.
Hackman.
Yeah, Leonardo.
What's his name?
Quick and the Dead, Leonardo DiCaprio.
The Quick and the Dead.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Good movie.
Thank you, Dave.
Did you see in her recent memoir, she said that... She came out and said that she had to pay his salary because they didn't really want him in the movie. But she did, so she was willing to pay his salary from what she said in her memoir.
Yep. That's true. It was out of her pocket. And this is way before he got the Three Musketeers and way before Titanic. So, yeah, nuts to them. Nuts to the producers who didn't want to pay the man.
When I was young, I don't know if I would have been interested in The Quick and the Dead, so I'm glad I saw it at the point of my life when I did, because that's a damn good Western. That's worming its way up to my top 10.
Yeah, I love what Gene Hackman did. You know, the worst, the better the villain, the better the story, I think. It always worked out that way.
Oh, yeah, because you really start rooting for, even if you're... protagonist is a flawed individual, you're still rooting for him because that bad guy is so bad, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's bad guys. If you take out kids or animals, you know, cute little baby animals, you're done. You're done. You got the audience ready to lynch you. As they should.
Yep, there you go.
You can't hurt poor aminals.
Well, anyway, kids, I think I'm going to be bugging out here before my computer unlocks me again.
All righty, and we'll See everybody next weekend. CW, thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, a wonderful conversation as always, CW. Oh, did I get locked out already?
No, I hear you, but I do not hear her. If you can still hear us, CW, thanks again for calling in and joining us.
And so since you can't say it, I'm going to bring in the one and only Schnozzle and Jimmy Durante. Thanks, CW.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.